Good Monday morning and welcome to the Sundial Writer's Corner. I'm Dori Nutt, one of the producers of this program that shines a spotlight on talented Tennessee Valley wordsmiths. Today, Alex Moore brings us a story from his college days when he worked as an intern with the ABC board scouring the backwoods of Alabama for moonshine stills.
White Lightning. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and my hired man was late as he came stumbling up my gravel drive. He had a quart-sized mason jar in his hand. He had told me earlier that he was a third-generation moonshiner, but I didn't really believe him. I thought it was just talk. But here he was, at my door, with a large mason jar filled with crystal-clear White Lightning. He was winded from climbing my hill, and his speech was slurred from no telling how many sips he had already taken. He spoke with a thick Sand Mountain accent. "I told you I'd bring you some." He took another gulp from the jar and squinted hard as he swallowed. "Got any Kool-Aid?" he asked. "Kool-Aid?" I repeated. "What do you want Kool-Aid for?" He smiled through missing teeth and said, "Helps the lightning go down easier. Wild cherry if you got it." The old moonshiner's gift immediately took me back to another time, to college in the late 70s, when I landed an internship with the Alabama Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Enforcement Division. They actually conducted moonshine still raids in those days. In the summer of 1979, I was fortunate to join a team of aging revenuers and in the process caught a glimpse of a bygone era. The ABC agents I worked with were a collection of characters. Chief Dan was a wily Korean War veteran with slick black hair and steely squint of a true crime detective. JR kept a tight crew cut and frequently tucked a nickel-plated .45 under his ample belly. Then there was Grinnin' Billy, a lanky country boy who always had a broad smile on his face. Billy had gotten word of a still operation deep in the woods of Walker County, a dry county at the time. And the four of us piled into an old, unmarked Dodge and headed down a dusty backcountry road. Along the way, Chief Dan began to tell stories of high-speed chases with bootleggers, occasional shootouts, and blowing up still operations with dynamite, fuses lit by dime store cigars. After a while, Chief Dan rolled down his window and sniffed the country air. Then he ordered the car to stop. Chief Dan pointed over to the woods and declared, "The still is over yonder ways." I took a sniff myself. I smelled the dry, dusty road. I smelled an Alabama pine forest. I smelled fresh summer honeysuckle. But I didn't smell any sour mash whiskey being cooked. JR stayed with the car while the three of us entered the woods and found a shallow creek. The water supply would lead us to the still. Sure enough, Billy soon stumbled over a water pipe leading up a slight hill to the still site. As I entered the clearing, I saw what Chief Dan described as one of the purtiest stills he had ever seen. It truly was a work of craftsmanship. The cooking vat was copper, held together with smoothly soldered joints and neatly spaced rivets. The cooling coil was copper too, with uniform loops leading to a smaller stainless steel condensing container. What was before us was nothing like the displays I had seen at the Alabama State Fair as a kid, with dented sheet metal, dirty garden hoses, and rusted car radiators, warning us of the dangers of poisonous homebrew. No, this distillery had been built by a skilled craftsman. Chief Dan reached into the fermenting vat of corn, sugar, and yeast, and tested the stickiness of the souring mash. "They'll run it in 2 days," he predicted. So 2 days later, before daylight, we set up in hiding around the still site. As the chief had predicted, two old-time moonshiners wearing old-fashioned overalls soon walked into the still site and began building a fire under the copper mash vat. We caught them completely by surprise. The raid was over as soon as it started, and I once again had a brief chance to admire the workmanship of the homemade distillery. Then Billy blew it up with dynamite. As Chief Dan placed the handcuffed moonshiners in the car, I caught a fleeting glance of recognition between the two of them. Was it possibly a look of vague recognition from a previous steel raid? or perhaps a backward glance during a car chase down Thunder Road. Maybe it was simply the mutual understanding that neither of them would be in the moonshine business much longer. I realized then that I had quite possibly participated in the last moonshine still raid in Alabama. Today, I chuckle with irony when I visit the Moonshine Whiskey Store in Gatlinburg and see the vast variety of commercially made flavors offered. "Got any Kool-Aid?" I ask the clerk. She looks at me curiously. "Helps the lightning go down easier," I explain with a grin. "Wild cherry, if you got it."
Sundial contributor Alex Moore is a retired special agent with the U.S. Diplomatic Security Service. After serving in assignments as far-flung as Australia, Lebanon, Haiti, and Sri Lanka, he now enjoys relaxing on his property near the river in Langston, Alabama. Alex has written a novel called Boundary Hunter that closely follows his experiences in counterterrorism and counterintelligence. You can hear Alex's story about White Lightning again or any of the past Sundial stories and poems by visiting our website, WLRH.org, and clicking on Sundial under the Programs tab. And each Monday morning at 9, we'll feature a brand new episode of the Sundial Writer's Corner here on 89.3 Huntsville Public Radio.